what am I trying to say? Our works. It's not based on that. It's based on what he did at Calvary. It's based on his great love for us. And that's the title today, God's Love. Beth, you can kick it on. I didn't know. Me and Teresa don't talk about what each one of us is going to minister on. Hadn't really never. I had no idea she's going to be talking about love. But Saturday morning, I got up and it was coming out of my mouth. And I was saying out of my mouth, I will not commit spiritual adultery. And I mean, it's just coming out of my mouth when I woke up and I thought, spiritual adultery? I don't remember no dream or anything that I had, you know, and I got up, you know, and I thought, spiritual adultery, I mean, I've heard it. I've heard people preach on it, you know, and I'm like, God, show me what you're talking about, spiritual adultery, God. I think I understand what some of it is, Lord, but I don't really know. How many knows that's the way me and you need to be with the Lord and the Holy Spirit? Lord, teach me about this. Teach me about that, Lord. Teach me about marriage. Teach me about being a father. Teach me about being a mother. Teach me about being a grandfather. Teach me, Lord, how to be a grandparent, a grandmother. Right? Hallelujah. Because He wants us to walk in the Spirit of God. Walking in love is walking in the Spirit. But anyhow, I begin to think about natural. See, because a lot of times I don't understand spiritual things, but when I have things in the natural to compare it, you know, then it gives me greater understanding unless I just get revelation on the inside of it. Now, you get revelation, you don't need no explanation. Right? I got a revelation that I'm supposed to be wealthy. I don't need an explanation. Amen. You get revelation from the Lord. You got revelation revealed to you that Jesus Christ died. You didn't walk here and see him. Right? Anybody ever seen him? With your physical eyes. Walking on this. You didn't see him. You just heard in the Bible, read in the why, and is it real to you? Is it really real to you today that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, right? And he was 30 years old, started his ministry, and 3 years later, they bound him up, whipped him, and crucified him. That's real to me. The Holy Spirit, when he brings revelation to you, he makes it real. That's what it means. That's what revelation is. He makes the things of God real to you. Well, I was thinking about it and I thought to myself, I thought, you know, before I got, this is B.C., before Christ, I committed adultery and different things on my wife. And we feel comfortable sharing our life with you because that was our old life. And now we have a 30-something year marriage, 40-something year marriage, and we contribute that to Jesus. We contribute that to our stand on God's Word and what he said in his word, that if we do it, if we be doers of it, he will give us the promise of it. And we found that he hated divorce. But I was thinking about why, after I become born again, did I not want to commit adultery? Did I not? Because I found out the Ten Commandments. But the Spirit of God, mainly the Spirit of God. See, some people say we're under the law. That's under the law. No, the law was not done away with like some preach. God's Word is good from Genesis to Revelation. The Ten Commandments showed me how I needed God. They showed me how I couldn't do things without God. They led me to Jesus. And then the Bible says that I'll show you in the scripture, it says that if I walk in love, I fulfill all the law. All the law is fulfilled in one thing, a new commandment. Jesus said that we love one another. All the law, all the thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, all of those are not done away with. Jesus come, died on that cross and said, now come in me and you can do them. Come in me and then you'll walk them. You will walk them. Because if I walk in love, well, I begin to think about natural. Why have I not did it? Number one, the Lord. But, you know, I made up my mind. I'm never going to commit adultery on her again. I made up my mind that I was not going to do it. And that shows my commitment, shows my love. Right? I can tell her, I swore on stacks of Bibles, lies, before people told Christians, said, man, you better not do that. God will kill you. But that's the only way I could get her to believe my lies. I'd get two or three Bibles and set them up and put my hand on them and say, I swear on a stack of Bibles. I wasn't afraid of God striking me down. I ain't never seen him strike nobody down. I knew a bunch of lying Christians before I got saved. So I wasn't afraid God going to strike me with lightning. He wasn't real to me. I knew about God and all of that. People told me about Jesus and God and God's real, but he wasn't real to me. That's why I didn't have no reverence for him. That's why I didn't have no desire for him. He wasn't real to me. He was just something somebody said. You know, but anyways, you know, I was thinking about it. I thought, you know, I made commitments to my wife, to the Lord, about my wife, that I would not commit adultery. The Bible says, if I look on a woman to lust after her and desire her, then I've committed adultery. That's what the Bible says. So I made up my mind as a truck driver not to look over once when I looked over and a woman's over there in there and looking down in the car. I made it a habit not to try to catch up where I could see it again. I made a choice to walk in the love of God. And you know what? I found that when I started doing that I felt good about that on the inside. I found out that that's what love was. Well, I thought about that just in the natural. You know, that when the temptation comes for me to betray my wife and betray God, then I resist it. Right? But we're not in our own strength. We're in Him. We're born of the Spirit of God, right? Teresa, put that scripture up there, Beth, Romans 5:5. She brought that up. She had it. And I thought to myself, okay, Lord, He said, it's the same way to commit spiritual adultery, he said, is you betray your commitments to me. He said, you commit to going to church. You commit to giving. He said, if things get in your way, he said, you commit to love the body of Christ. He said, but then they don't act like you, act like, you know. And then you give up your commitments with me. That's spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery is idolatry. It's idolizing something other than God, giving worship to something other than God. Pain in your body, right? That can rule you if you let it. When the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. And I told God, I said, God, help me to understand for my own life, Lord, that I can take it to the church, Lord, where that we don't unintentionally, we don't do it unintentionally, but we do it ignorantly sometimes. And that's why He brings us knowledge. Once God brings knowledge to us, now we know. We know we can overcome in Him. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, right? Even our faith. Come out from among the world and be ye separate. I'll never get a divorce. Why? Because I'm going to be an example of the power of God. Now, people's got mad at me. Well, I mean, it takes two. Blah, 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 blah. I always tell them, listen, I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about what happened to them. I'm not talking about their experience. I'm not talking about none of that. I'm talking about my commitment. See, I can't go to my commitments based on everybody's experience. I've got to make my commitments to the Lord based on my relationship with Him, and then I'm going to expect God results. Right? Hallelujah. So God is going to help me and you not to commit spiritual adultery. It's just like natural marriage. That's a good example. We're married to Him. We are the bride of Jesus Christ, right? We are married to Him. Some other doctrine comes towards me, Granny, I say, nope. Some other woman comes towards me, nope. I'm comparing it to spiritual. Now, the way she acts sometimes, I want to get a divorce. Not now, but over the years. She's my little queen. I had to believe her in. See, I believed for her to become what she's supposed to be. I did. God, I'm going to endure this hardship until this battle is won. I've even told God before, I think I married the devil's daughter after I become a Christian. That's why y'all young people that ain't never been married and all of that, you think you need a companion and all of that, you need to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to find out the will of God. That way, and I'm telling you this, God will lead you to somebody that already knows Him. This devil out here that is saying, you know, I had one in the church. She said, well, he's not a Christian, you know, but I'm going to win him over. He's going to come to church and blah, 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 blah. I said, that's contrary to Scripture. I said, through the Bible, God told them not to mix with them, not because they were anything other than not serving God. It was just about not serving God. He said, they will take your hearts, your commitment from me. And she told me, she said, no, he won't. I said, well, do whatever. The Word says this, and she kind of got upset with me, Chris, but what am I supposed to do? What the Word says, right? I'm supposed to give counsel according to what? God's Word. Not feelings and emotions and people and choices and blah, blah, blah. And whether they believed it was God. You know what? I don't reckon they ever served God again. They got divorced, lost all their jobs, everything, out of church, took her out of church. Why? Because it wasn't because he was a bad guy. He didn't know Jesus. So his views of life were different. His desires in life were different. His motivations in his life was contrary to hers. But they dated for a little. No, you make me feel. And all that's what Teresa was talking about. You know, I need to be fulfilled in life. I need to be fulfilled. See, God spoke to me, showed me and Teresa over the years. I'm not the one to make her feel full and fulfilled. Not sex. Right? Not my emotions. God is the only one that can make you whole without a woman. God is the only one that can make you whole without a man. Right? If we have God, then we don't feel the urgent need to get that gratification. Because we have the wisdom of God. Wisdom always overrides emotions. Wisdom always leads in the way of stability and structure of God. Hallelujah. So God's going to show us. But right here it says that love maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, when you give your heart... If you've never been born again, you can't understand the love that I'm talking about. Because this love right here caused me to cry 4 hours after I got born again, seeing how I had wronged my mother-in-law and my dad and my mom. And that love come in and took the scales off of my eyes that I could see what love was. I could see that I really hadn't loved Teresa. I could see that I hadn't loved Doris. I made her hate me. But I cried for 4 hours at work, you know, and it wasn't a sad cry. It was a cleansing. So the love of God had came in by the Holy Ghost, unbeknown. I did not know the Scripture. It had came in by the Holy Ghost. Now I want to talk about love, natural love, for just a minute. This love of God is not natural. It has power that is way beyond the earth, the world, strength. The greatest power on earth is not even to be compared to the love of God that came in you when the Holy Spirit came in you. It was poured into you by the Holy Spirit. This love, the natural love, I can love Teresa as long as she's doing everything I think she ought to do. And when she ain't, then, bless God, the grass looks greener over yonder. I wasn't really looking for a wife when she asked me to run away with her. Right? She's telling us. My brother Preston conned me into coming to the skating rink to meet this woman. I'm already in the bed. He's doing what he's doing, skating rink, the night owl, and I done smoked me a joint, and I done mellowed out, and I got to work tomorrow, and all I care about is my vehicle. And he calls me up, and my car won't crank, and you know, and I'm like, man, I'm done the bed. My car won't crank. And he went out there and pulled the coil wire off, you know, with the car where it wouldn't crank for a guy. You remember that? I've told you all these stories, and you think, no, it happened. It was God, though. It was God 40 years later. You know, well, anyways, what I'm saying is, you know, I liked her okay, you know, and then I took her home and I didn't go back, you know, and I'm like, just forget. I don't want a woman. I don't want a girlfriend. I really don't want a girlfriend. I didn't want a girlfriend. Y'all want a girlfriend? Just pray and ask God to help you. You can use that wisdom later. See, I find that the young people that love God, they keep themselves sexually pure. I've seen it. I went to a church that had the love in there. The guy had the love of God for those teenagers in the heart of God, that they wouldn't be defiled before they got married. That they wouldn't have no respect. So he ministered that and he encouraged them, you know, and talking to us, a guy that works for us, you know, and the only way he could figure out without God, you know, is buy his 13-year-old daughter plenty of condoms. That's terrible. Mine was, you bring home a baby Travis out of wedlock, and I'm killing you. See, the world says try it before you buy. Try it just in case, you know, and it don't work out. If you go in serving God that way, you will commit spiritual adultery. You don't try him out. We going after him. We going to serve him. He loved me enough to save me. He loved me enough to hook me up with her before while I was a sinner. He loved me enough to keep the enemy from destroying us for 7 years before I got born again. He loved her enough to bring her into my life that I would give her a good life in her lifetime. Now, she don't agree with all that, but I don't care. I know because I love him, because he loved me. And he put this love on the inside of me. I was an angry man. I would pull a gun to your eyes right quick if you looked at my wife, and I'd tell you, you got a couple of seconds and I'm going to help you get out of here. I did it. I thought I'm too little to be messing around here. I'll just shoot them. Shoot them in the leg, shoot them somewhere, and then I'll get on top of them, and then I'll kill them, finish kill them. I don't want the bullet to kill them. I want pain. I want you pain for what you did to me. See, that's why we get over here in the kingdom. See, I was in my natural love. I got along with people till they did something I didn't. That's natural love. But this God kind of love, hallelujah, that came on the inside of me, that began to drive me to goodness. It began to drive me to love, hallelujah. It began to drive me to love my enemies, Matthew 5:44. It says, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. I'm going to the jails one day and people are in there and they've been clawed up. That tells me they got a wife like I had. I encouraged her to cut her fingernails. Why? Because they were sharp. Cut your face up. Get a little bit of skin out of it. God forbid they ever got gripped on to you somewhere. But I would go to the jail, you know, and I would be like, God, I know the way now. It's not jealousy, and it's not control, and it's freedom. See the natural kind of love is jealous. The natural kind of love is fearful. The natural kind of love we'll get to some of the 1 Corinthians 4, but anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But the God kind of love is supernatural. It's supernatural. It's a unwavering, unfailing, of course, according to 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. It don't lose its power. It don't get weaker as you go. It don't bend and bow. It keeps you strong. It keeps you in faith, according to Galatians 5:8. Faith which works by love. You can have love to move mountains, Paul said. He said, prophesy. He said, you can have faith to move mountains and all to feed the poor. We do it. We feed the poor. We go into all the world. We changing people's lives in the natural realm. He said, if you don't have love, it don't profit you nothing. If you don't walk in love, it don't profit you nothing. See, I've never been afraid of man, even before God. Really. Stupid, pride, whatever you want to call it, ignorance, eat up with it. I mean, 5'6" ought to be afraid of a bunch of them. You know? And then when I come into the kingdom of God, God begin to turn that love into wisdom. You know, going to the jail and telling that dude, listen, God will set you free from jealousy. And then the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, jealousy is fear. He said, and I have not given my people a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He said, I've given them a power of love. How many knows, for God so, John 3:16 was the greatest demonstration of the love of God that we have. It was proof of the love of God that he sent his son down here that we would not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. We quote that scripture because we've heard it and we think it's just sermons to get people saved. No, it's not. That is God saying, look at the love that I demonstrated to you, Scotty. While you was a sinner, I demonstrated how I wanted you to love in this earth. I demonstrated to you how much I loved you. And now I want you to magnify through your life that love that I've given you. And so I went, you know, and I began to walk. But there's two loves. There's a natural love. And there is an agape love we call agape. Now look, the Lord spoke to me yesterday. He said, when you walk in the love of God, he said, it cancels out 90-something percent of the plans the enemy has for you. He said, most of the plans the enemy has for you are canceled when you walk in the love of God. Okay, he planned on me getting mad at some. If I pulled up and a guy was at the Coke box, you know, and if Teresa looked, it's on. If she looked at the guy at the Coke box, I know you think it's stupid. That's how warped up Satan is. That's how warped up he had me. That's how oppressed he had me. And so it would be on, you know. If that guy looks over once in there, I'm out on him. I'm out on him. I go to jail. I don't think about the consequences. I'm like, you won't never do it again. You'll do it this one time, but you won't look at mine again. Well, after I get born again, you know, and all of that. See, it's just stupidity. It's bound. The Bible says the God of this world had blinded my heart and my mind. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine into you. You're blinded by the devil if you're not saved. Your father is the devil if you are not saved. According to Scripture, if you are not for Jesus Christ, you are against him. Therefore, you are the enemy of the cross. You are partaking in the enemy. We would have killed Jesus ourselves if we had been there, probably, had we not believed that it was truth. All that was the plan of God. Well, I'm going, you know, and the Lord told me one day, now as you go, I'm just telling you, as you walk in this life, praise God, with Jesus Christ, you set out to go with him and walk with him, and you're not perfect and you got a lot you're having to work out, but you decide you're going to walk in the love of God. That's one of the first things that God dealt with me deeply about, was to walk in the love of God. I even go to church and I'm sitting there and we're in revival, and the guy, he's preaching on love can't be offended. Johnny's got a hold of a bunch of that. That's me telling the stories at you that you used. It ain't my story. It's the journey that God had me on. And I'm sitting there, and I don't know how bound I really am. And I'm done a believer. And he reads part of a passage, and then I'm sitting there and he says, don't read, look up here, don't read your Bible. And I raised my Bible up and I thought, don't ever tell me don't read my Bible. I'm in church, for God's sake. I can read my Bible in church. See, now, if you agree with that, you're agreeing with rebellion. I didn't know how rebellious I was. I didn't know that I didn't like authority at all. I didn't know I didn't like anybody telling me what to do and all of that stuff, you know. And I left there and I thought, I'll not go back to that church till he leaves my church. I'm out of here. Teresa, she's all fired up. She's got born again. She don't have an attitude like you. I had to talk her into becoming a thief if we stole anything. She was a good girl. I taught her how to sin. Some things. Well, anyways, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, and she's, oh, church. See, when God is taking you and confront things in your life, don't run from him. See, I was running from him, but I was ignorant that I was running from him. I didn't know. I didn't know that this week in this revival is going to change my life forever. I didn't know that. I didn't know that in the church where the word and authority, when a man's got authority and he's preaching the Bible, I didn't know all that. To go and reverence that authority and all that, then you'll get something from it. I didn't know. So I wasn't really getting nothing out of it because I didn't like him. Well, anyways, Trace, oh boy, it's going to be good tonight. It's going to be good tonight. I'm like, I want to bust her in the mouth like I want to bust him in the mouth. Shut up. Can't you shut up? I'm not going back to that revival. See, I was used to not being told what to do. So God had to work with me to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Because he's going to take me where I don't want to go. He's going to take me to church, right? Whether I like the revival or not. He's going to take me there whether I like the hymn books or not. He's going to take me there whether I like the keyboard or not. He's going to take me there whether I like Richard or not. I love you, man. He's going to take me. You've got on my nerves, but you're okay. There's not a person in here. You are the only one that's not got on my nerves. And the only reason you hadn't is because you hadn't been here long enough. And so I'm already ready. for when you break out of your shell. I'm me. Whoo! Let me sing. No. You can't carry a tune in the bucket. I can only get you here to church on Sunday morning, and you're not faithful. We sang Wednesday too. And if you love God and you want to walk in that love, He will break barriers. He will move mountains for you to do the will of God. I'm a free man. I'm not one bit jealous of that woman. I told Satan one time, I said, you go ahead and hook her up. I said, they will pay me to take her back because I'm graced by you to live with that woman. And that woman, they will pay me to take her. I will make money. So I told Satan, he can come through with a Mustang and she can get in there and ride, baby, ride. And you ain't taking me to prison again, Satan. I went to that jail and God said, tell him I'll set him free. I said, I'm not free, God. See, you got to be honest with God. I said, I'm still jealous. See, jealousy is afraid of you losing something. I thought you believed in winning. Right? Not based on what it looks like, right? I'm not in competition with God's doors. I'm in the will of God. These companies popped up all around before, and I've been like, oh, man, come down on you. No, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. See, love is your motivating force now. That now the faith you get out of the Bible and you walk in love, it begins to cast that fear out. Give me that, John. I ain't got none of my scriptures. It's cause Travis sang too long. I give you a new what? This is not if you want to. Right? And this is not him saying you're going to do this. Whether you like it or not, he said what he's saying here, he's saying this new commandment is the way to victory. And the only way you're going to have it is if you do this commandment. It's a command that we Christians walk in the love of God. And if I love you, I will not lust after your wife, Richard. Or Chris, not, what's her name? Jeremy, forget your name, man. If I walk in love, every one of y'all can trust me that I'm not going to desire your wife. Right? Every one of y'all can trust that I'm going to make sure that you are safe in this place from the enemy. Right? And if I love God and walk in the love of God, then I'm not going to go out there and let my life seem mundane with my wife or this ministry. I told somebody the other day, you know, I was talking about ministry and everything, and it's really exciting if I get to go somewhere else and preach now. But I told him, I said, look, man, I said, I'm not looking for ministry. I said, I love my ministry where I'm at down there. Well, you know, I've seen them cheers for 10 years. I've seen that crack over yonder for 15 years. I've painted over the ceiling tile because it leaks every now and then. Right? I mean, that church looks better over there. It looks like over there they have everybody faithful showing up for the praise team. It looks like they don't have nobody in contrast on the praise team. So it looks like if I go over there that I could have an easy road pastoring. Boy, am I deceived. You get over there, and it just looks like it for 7 minutes. 8 minutes, maybe. And then when you leave there and you start talking, boy, I'm telling you right now, Billy Bob, he thinks he knows everything. We ought to change this song and that song, and we ought to sing this song and that song. And you're like, oh, man, that's why I told Travis. I said, listen, Travis, I said, every song you sang, well, he about 10 years ago, I said, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you what 2, 3, 4 songs you find out. You strum, whatever you do. I get up and I walk through the house a lot of times, or I just ponder on what God's speaking to me. Same thing. That's the same thing as getting the message together. He said, "Here, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I've loved." How did he love me? Noah, how did he love me? He gave his life for me. That means I got to walk with you, long-suffering with you. I've got to bring a little correction, if I can. If I think Noah won't handle it, I'll just back off for a little while. I'll be like, "Well, the rope's on your neck, and here, God ain't telling me nothing." Love will just back off. Love back. Well, you know, I went to that revival and he preached on, but by Thursday of that week, that's why one of the reasons I'm preaching on the love of God. You can't love God without him. Till you surrender to him, you don't love him. You don't know him. You can't know him. The Bible says our flesh receives not the things of God. Our spirit man does. By the time I left that week, I didn't want to control Trace anymore. By the time I left that week, I felt like I loved everybody. I loved them at work that I couldn't stand. That, you know, and all of that. And I'm like, "What's going on, man? Am I turning weird?" Because, you know, you go from that, you know, over to loving people, and Satan makes you feel weird. Like I'm turning weak. Might turn a little funny. See, I had the earring in the right ear in the 70s and 80s called the Teresa in the parachute pants. Left ear. But you didn't get one in the right ear because you're queer. Yay, whatever you want to call it today. So I just wore the one in the ear that everybody better know I'm not. Well, look, you know, I'm not talking ugly to y'all. Y'all get on Facebook. I'm nothing. Right? You got her dressing up in a dress coming in to our kids in the government. Had a Methodist pastor every day, went to church dressed in a dress and told them, "Well, I'm evolving here. My voice might change a little like a woman." He's a man. And he lost the whole congregation in 3 minutes. Yay for them. Why? Because the world, we don't walk like the world in hate and hold grudges. We walk in the love of God and we forgive. Told Mama one time she's always expecting some of her grandkids to steal something. She go in there, and the dog could drag one of her towels out, and she knew, I think she counted them. And somebody would come over and they'd leave. So-and-so stole my rags. I know they did. I know that. Did you see them, Mom? No, I didn't see them, but they're the only ones being here. You got mutts running around here that drags things off. We got cats now that toast my shoes off. I told Aubrey the other day that Teresa wants some little cats. Oh, they're cute and all that. And then I went up one day and they all come around me. They thought I was Teresa. And I went in there and I told her, I said, "We got wild cats on the back porch now. Four of them." They surrounded me because she goes out, "Hey, hi, ooh, hey." Oh, and calls their names and all of that. And then when I come out, they think I'm her. And so they swarmed me. And I thought, man, we went from baby kittens to mountain lions. In four or five months. But he says here, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." How's the world going to know the real church? Because me and you walk in the love of God. If I can love Teresa at home like Christ loved me, I can do it at this church. I don't have to live with you all the time. Right? If I practice it at church with Travis and Beth, there's things they do with my grandkids, not ungodly, just things. I mean, I'm like, I don't really like that, but I could get mad at them and say, "They're stupid. Are they stupid?" Blah, 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 blah. You know, but what does the Bible say? Teresa brought out love what covers. Love don't reveal. Love don't take into account done wrong to us. They ain't done nothing wrong. Well, just like the grandkids, they could come out there and I know Dad and them, you know, blah, 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 and they, blah, blah. I can plant rebellion in them, but love tells me never say anything to my grandkids, and I didn't with my kid, Tortoise, that would cause them to rebel against Grandpa and Grandma or Dad and Mom. So we're totally in agreement when we talk to them that they honor your father and your mother. We're to honor our father and mother. The Bible says long life will it add to us. It'll add to us. Honoring our spiritual. That's why I honor my spiritual father, Bradley McDonald. That's why I honor him. Is he perfect? No, I called him. I went to church one night and he wasn't there. Visit church and called him up, you know, and well, no, he called me up, boy. He said, if I knew you was going to be there, I'd have been there. And I said, where was you? I said, well, where were you? Oh, well, I just got lazy. I said, it can happen. I said, it did. I said, you just missed out. That's all I know. Now, you know what? I wasn't saying that, you know, to make him feel bad and all of that, you know, but hey, the shoe fits, man. I love you with everything. And I told somebody the other day, they're saying something about him, not bad about him. And I said, listen, I have never said one bad word against my pastor. Why? Because the Bible says for me to honor the leaders. Right? Not backbite and all that. See, that's walking in the love of God. You know what that does? That puts me in the spiritual arena of God. That I'm honoring God because I'm honoring them, and God honors me. He said, whom those that honor me, I will honor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Father. I thank you for everyone here on the sound of my